Ali, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Amber. My absolute pleasure.
Delighted to have you here. So to start off, maybe I know a lot of our listeners might be familiar with you, but tell us a little bit about yourself and about your background.
Okay, so my name is Ali Keane. I am from Tralee, and I suppose a lot of people would know me and a lot of people wouldn't know me. Our family would be fairly well known. My father within these walls, he used to have his own show, and it's gas to be here all these years later. I have lovely memories of being here as a teenager and helping him out with his show and things. So yeah, and our family would have fairly deep roots in the Rose of Tralee Festival as well. My grandfather would have been one of the founders in that. So I'm a very, very proud Tralee person, and yeah, very, very happy to be here to tell my story today.
Fantastic. You have a business in Tralee Town Centre. Obviously, it's relatively new, I think, as well. So it's Flower Power. So tell us, I suppose, about how long you're there maybe and why you decided to open in the first place.
Okay, so we opened in July 2024. So we're just over a year and a half. I would still consider us fairly new and definitely still at the learning stages, but we're kind of settling in and we're getting to know the business and getting to know the industry, I suppose. Why did I open Flower Power? Well, there's quite the backstory. I'll start with my own personal story, if you don't mind. So when I was 20, I was in a car accident. I had been in college in Galway at the time, living my best life. Came home on a Friday evening and I went out with my brother and sister and didn't make it home for about 14 months. So we hopped into a car with a neighbour and friend of ours, and look, speed was the issue and silliness was the issue. I was in the back seat, and I will say, look, I was afraid of the speed, but like many, I was afraid to speak up as well and ask him to slow down, which is something I would obviously regret and I've just had to live with. There were no seatbelts either in the back. It was quite an old car. So I would always say to people, you know, speak up. Well, wear your seatbelt anyway, first of all. And it's legal now, which is great. It hadn't been in those days. But I was afraid to speak up and ask him to slow down. And it's a message I would always say, I've passed on to children, anybody of any age, you know, don't be afraid to ask somebody to slow down. There's a lot of ways of getting thrills in life. And I think sitting in a speeding car isn't one of them and shouldn't be. I ended up with two spinal injuries. I broke my neck and I broke my back, but I suppose fortunately for me, in neither place, my cord wasn't severed. So I was never told initially, you know, you'll never walk again. They couldn't say that because they didn't know how I was going to recover. And I suppose by the time I realised that I wasn't going to walk again, I knew that walking wasn't really the be all and the end all. You know, there was a lot of other issues involved. Like my hands for me were the one, like I had no power in my hands. I had nothing from my neck down initially when I had surgery and all the rest of it. And I ended up in the rehabilitation hospital in Dunleary for 13 months. So like I was 20 years of age, I was used to being independent. So for me to gain back that independence was what was most important. It wasn't about walking. I wanted to be able to feed myself, dress myself, have an independent life, you know, and not rely on my family and not rely on others. I know it kind of sounds like a ridiculous thing to say. If I could change it, if I could go back in time, I don't know that I would. I think it has taught me, it gave me great resilience, something I didn't realise I had. It taught me the value of love and support. It taught me that bad things are going to happen in life, whether, you know, they're just unexpected things. People are going to get sick. People are going to have accidents. So it gave me a great sense of respect and value for human life and the importance of love and support, really. And I think none of us really have the right to judge or discriminate or be unkind to somebody, you know. So that sense, the sense of kind of human rights and civil rights and just love and respect. And that's part of why I've called Flower Power Flower Power. I think, you know, if we could all go back to that time and take the message of peace and love, and especially in the times that we're in now, I think we could all gain from that, really. So then I went back to college after the accident and I started again. I studied languages, actually, nothing to do with food. But I always loved food. And growing up, look, we always would have had homemade meals. I don't know how my mother did it. She was a teacher, but she managed to have a homemade meal on the table every evening. And I loved helping. I went back to college after the accident and I went on Erasmus to Barcelona for a year, which was probably the makings of me, really. Nobody knew me there. I had great independence. I was able to use the metro. I lived on my own. I could get around, like, the streets of Barcelona were very accessible and still are. So I gained back that independence and I had a sense of anonymity, I suppose, as well. Whereas when I had come home from hospital, obviously there was a lot of sympathy for me and I was poor little Ali Keane, but at like 20, 21, you don't really want to be poor little anything. And then in Barcelona, I actually became vegetarian there. I think like the markets with all the fresh produce and going to restaurants and eating foods that were authentic and spices, and the kind of animal rights issue was becoming something for me. And this is only for me, and I'm not telling anybody to be vegetarian or vegan or otherwise. My moral compass found that difficult. So I became vegetarian, but I did educate myself, you know, the importance of eating, having enough protein, having enough B12, having the omegas, obviously fiber, having a high fiber diet, and what it can do for you. And in times of kind of grief and stress and trauma, I think we underestimate the value of like good food and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I think physical illnesses, mental illnesses, I think when you eat well, it helps you an awful lot. Okay. And there are often the times when we kind of go for like the takeaways or the tasty food or maybe, you know, the processed foods. Mm-hmm. And there's a time and a place for them, I think. But I just think the value of good food and nutrition. So at Flower Power, our tagline is love through food. So I wanted to encapsulate the idea of peace and love. I was a mother sitting at home for 7 years, listening to the radio, keeping up with current affairs, with a pain in my heart for what's going on in the world and feeling frustrated that there wasn't enough I could do about it. So I thought, you know, if I could open a space, invite people into a kind of a happy space, a bright space that was friendly, warm and welcoming to everybody, obviously wheelchair accessible, but welcoming to everybody, no matter who you are, what you are, where you come from, and feed you good food. So yeah, it's love through food. The majority of our food is homemade. There is a lot of love into it. A lot of our customers are not vegetarian or vegan. I would say the vast majority of them are actually meat eaters. But it's the idea of home cooked food and nutrition and love in the food.
It sounds fabulous. It's amazing, isn't it? I think you're right, because I think we do underestimate the comfort maybe that comes with a home-cooked meal like that as well. And I suppose the feeling it can give us as well. So it must be lovely to be able to share that with your customers every day.
It is lovely. And I've been so surprised by the reaction. I mean, I'm delighted that people recognise it and that they can actually taste in the food that it is homemade and that it is fresh. But yeah, and I don't often, I suppose, get to tell my story, and I probably haven't marketed it enough. I've spent time actually making the food and running the business and things. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity to kind of get my story out there. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm delighted with the feedback so far.
Brilliant. And it sounds like it's going really well as well. And that you're getting, I suppose, a great reaction from the customers from what you're saying there. It sounds like it's been worthwhile, I suppose, since you opened the doors.
It is, and it's been absolutely worthwhile. Look, at the end of the day, it is a business, and we're in an industry that is very difficult. A lot of hospitality is on its knees right now. I did have Simon Harris in to visit while he was Taoiseach. He was on a campaign trail, and he promised me that he would do a lot for the hospitality industry and that he would bring down the VAT rate. And disappointingly, that's not happening until July. And they did up the minimum wage, which workers are more than entitled to. But I think it would have been kinder to everybody and a bit more practical if they had both come in at the same time. I think SMEs are seen as these, you know, they're kind of put online with the big corporations and the big businesses. And we're not, we are the ordinary workers as well. We're going home to feed families, and it's a difficult time to sustain a business. You know, bills are high. So there is a bit of juggling to do. But I will say, like, the kitchen for me, I say it's my church, it's my mindfulness, preparing food. And I just hold fast to my concept. And my customers are just so precious and treasured to us. They really, really are. And I would like to think that we have a nice atmosphere in there and that people are happy and that they're happier having visited.
It sounds like that you do, and it sounds like that there is a lovely atmosphere and a lovely vibe inside there as well from what you're saying. I was going to ask you about that, about the difficulties, I suppose, of being an SME, because it is difficult and there's so many different challenges as well. Is it something, I suppose, that you were wary about maybe before you opened the doors, or is it something maybe that kind of came when you did have the doors open and you kind of were experiencing it maybe?
A bit of both, I suppose. Look, you can learn loads in books, but the reality of running a business is where you learn the most. I did a very comprehensive food business course in Ballymaloe back in 2019, and I had actually been looking at a different venue in 2020, but COVID happened. And I suppose, as luck would have it, number 3 Denny Street now is a lot more accessible for me, and it just works better. So I did learn a lot in that course, and I would advise anybody opening or looking to open a hospitality business to do something similar. Would my course coordinator have a bit to say to me now? She probably would, because the reality of it is there aren't enough hours in the day to tick all your boxes and have everything running as it should. But again, I think, look, we're only a year and a half in, and I would hope that as things go, and I can see already, look, the first year was kind of get the doors open, and from now on I think it's keep the doors open and you know, a bit of housekeeping, a bit of tidying up. But yeah, like, I'm lucky, and I say with everything I've gone through in life, I have great resilience and I have a lot of grit, and I have a wonderful husband who is on board with me. I have two free spirits of children, and I think any parent will understand where I'm going calling them free spirits. But we are a family run business, and we just, look, we want to keep it going for all the reasons I've mentioned, but for ourselves as well. And this is my dream, and to be able to give the people of Tralee, and I just have to take a moment about the people of Tralee. I can tell you, we are some of the best people that I have come across in the world. There's something very special about our town. There's something very special about our people, and they're in and out of my doors every day. And it's great to have the visitors and the tourists and to be able to sell the town. But like, we talk about the Rose of Tralee, we talk about different facilities that we have. But I just think the core, the heart and soul of the people of Tralee is something very special, and it's something that we should all be very proud of. Mm-hmm.
It certainly is, and that was a lovely way to put it as well, because it is, and I suppose you're dealing with the people every day as well, which is lovely, and it's great to have that reaction from them. Obviously, you're in a wheelchair, as you mentioned at the start, mm-hmm. as well, following that accident. Does that make it a little bit more difficult, I suppose, for you running a business, or is it just second nature to you now, and it doesn't even, I suppose, come into the factor maybe, because it's just, it's your life now and that's the way it is?
Well, being in a chair is second nature to me now. I won't tell you how many years ago or how long I'm in it. Those of you who know will know. But do you know, it's something I hadn't foreseen, actually. So obviously at home, my own kitchen is completely accessible, and there was already a footprint in the kitchen when we opened it. Now, I did have tables and things made to my level, and I have, you know, fridges and things like that that I can reach. But since the accident, it took me quite a while to be able to ask for help, because it's something very difficult. You want to be able to do it yourself. But maybe having children helped me, actually. It kind of spurred me on. If I needed help, I needed help. And that was it. And I had to kind of put my pride aside. One thing I didn't foresee is my staff wanting to help me. And they're wonderful. I can't say enough about them. But I have to kind of remind them that I don't need the help, and they have their job to do and I have mine, and I'll ask, you know. I could be bent over at a 90 degree, 180 degree angle, and I could be almost standing up trying to reach for something. But people who know me would know, like, I have a very, very strong sense of independence, and I just want to be able to do as much for myself as I can. But when we are busy, it's difficult for me to cook, and I have to kind of stand back and let that kind of sense of control go a bit, and depend and trust my staff to do what needs to be done.
Okay, it's great that you can do so much yourself, and it is also, I suppose, great as well on the second hand that you have the staff there, that they can step in when needs be as well, and that you can trust mm-hmm. them to do that. But okay. It's an inspiring message, I think, as well, for people and anyone listening that might be in a similar circumstance to yourself, maybe, to see that, you know, no matter what your ability, you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. And you said earlier on, you're living your dream now, and this is what you wanted to do. And isn't it a fantastic message to be able to share that you are doing successfully, and mm-hmm. despite everything you've overcome, here you are now living out that dream?
Yeah, well, I would hope so. And for people in my situation, or just for anybody who's been through difficult times in their life, and none of us get through life without having been through difficult times, I think it's very important to remember that the tough times don't last forever. And I would have to remind myself that, you know, at times. And I would say I'm lucky to have learned at such a young age that the tough times don't last forever. There's always light. I think, you know, for as long as we're alive, there's always hope, there's always light. So if I can inspire somebody, then I'm so, so happy to have a message to send and to give. But for all of us, I would say we have one life, and go out and live it, and don't see limits as limits, you know, push the limits. We can make our own luck, we can make our own happiness. But yeah, I'm not a great one to be put in a box or labelled as and told what I can and can't do. I just kind of do my own thing, really, and I would advise most people to do the same.
Absolutely, that's a very good message, and it's an important one to get out there, actually, as well, you know, from a lived experience, you mm-hmm. know, it's fantastic to hear it. Do you feel that we're becoming a little bit more accepting and that bit more accessible, I suppose, in terms of people who, like yourself, might be in a wheelchair or might have some other disability or even a hidden disability, maybe, that we're seeing more and more people, I suppose, coming into the workplaces, and the people are that bit more accessible, do you think?
I think so. Look, in the last 20 something years. Yeah, things were very difficult like years ago. I go back and I talk about my time in Barcelona. So Barcelona had the Olympics in 1992. So they did a whole street plan and the whole place was made accessible. And like that was so refreshing for me back then. And I see, yeah, in terms of access and things, they've improved. I would say they're still not where they need to be. I think we are becoming more aware. Like we in the cafe, we've had a lot of teenagers and young people on work experience with all kinds of differences, I would say. I'm not a great fan of the word disability. I know it has to be used and it has its place. But even, say, people dealing with maybe autism or ADHD or, I say, sparkly needs. I like people with sparkly needs, not special needs. Do you know, we all bring something to this world. And yeah, we've had a lot of people, we still do, and they bring an energy that nobody else can bring. And I just think it's so important. Like, again, the term minority, like we're all a minority when you think of it. There's only one of all of us. So, but I do think minds need to be opened, accessible. Wheelchair spaces in town is a big one for me because I find it really difficult. If I'm not in before opening in the morning, it's very difficult for me to get a space. And, you know, it's only somebody in a chair that can understand the difficulty trying to push a chair and hold an umbrella over you at the same time in the rain. And yeah, I've got many parking tickets and I know I've probably broken rules a little bit and I apologise for that. So just small things like that, having parking, having spaces available, having ramps, having, you know, and for people with buggies and negotiating maybe walking sticks or walking frames or anything like that. So yeah, we still have a road to go. But look, I'm glad to see that there's a bit more awareness now than there used to be.
That's good to hear, absolutely. And I know, as you said, there is still a ways to go, but it's good to see that there's progress being made, I suppose, as well. Ali, I suppose, looking at the business and how far you've come, maybe, do you have plans for the future or what would be maybe your goals for the next maybe year or two?
So the next year, I suppose, keep open is a good one. As I said, the first year was keep open the doors, and the second year now and is stay open. I think keep doing what we're doing, obviously improve. Consistency is a big thing. We've done some kind of evenings, we've done like cinema nights, and we've had like the Women's Shed in, and they were great fun. Big shout out to the Women's Shed. And we did a pottery evening. So in time, I would like to maybe dip our toes a little bit more there. We have young children, so maybe when they're a little bit older, and if we're still going, and hopefully we will be, I'd like to get into an evening service maybe at the weekends. But I suppose, yeah, tidy up where we are and keep standards high. Keep going, really, keep going. Mm-hmm.
Yes, hopefully you will do. I suppose kind of in keeping with that as well, would you like to get a message out there maybe to people to support the likes of yourselves, the local small businesses in the town, to help keep the doors open for ye as well, because you're doing so much hard work and it's important that we don't have vacant buildings, I suppose, in town and you're occupying one of those buildings. Mm-hmm. What message would you have for people, I suppose, before we finish up?
Well, exactly that. I suppose support local. It's very important. And sometimes, look, the reality is you don't realise how important it is until you're maybe in the situation. And now we're in town. I live outside of town and I would, you know, I mean, we come into town fairly often, but I'm spending more time in town now than I ever did. So, yeah, it's upsetting to see all the vacant buildings. So I think it's really important. And just the vibe and the energy of a town, it's very different. Look, I think the kind of bigger units outside of town, there's a place for them and they're important. And they can be great for people with mm-hmm. disabilities. You know, you go in somewhere, you know, you have toilets, you know, you have shelter from the rain. So they have their place. But I think, and especially within Ireland, there's something so special about our town mm-hmm. and the energy in a town. But the businesses can only keep going as long as they're supported. So yeah, I would ask people to continue to support us, and we will continue to support them in turn by feeding them good food.
Fantastic. It sounds brilliant and it sounds like you're doing an amazing job and keeping people well fed and happy as well, which is important. But continued success to you, Ali, and thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much. Absolute pleasure. Thank you.